Hey, everyone.
Hey, John.
We are off today.
Right.
We're all enjoying our Memorial Day. But we wanted to share this best of episode from our new subscription exclusive show, Terminally Online.
I bet I'm featured a lot in this.
There's
cool.
There's a revolving cast in the show that includes us, the three of us, with some of your favorite Crooked producers and staff. And we basically gather to commiserate about being way too online.
Yes, we do.
Which we are. As we make shows here at Crooked Media, except for me, I'm pretty offline.
Yeah, John's
these days.
Super chill now.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know that.
Have you seen what Cat Turd said lately? It's out of control.
Human Xanax, call him here.
I did bring Cat Turd up during Pod Save America.
Nice.
Today.
Way to go.
We're good. Yeah. So, anyway, we hope you enjoy it. It's so fun.
I love this show.
It's so fun recording Terminally Online. So, if you want access to weekly episodes of Terminally Online and so much more, head to crooked.com/friends and subscribe today. A lot of benefits to being a subscriber. You get to be part of the community. You get to be in the Discord channel.
Be a sub.
You can be a sub, right?
You can be a friend with benefits.
You can be a friend with benefits.
You can help Vote Save America.
There's one tier where Lovett comes to your house.
Even if you don't want
to. You can pay for that to happen or not happen.
Right. It's like bidding on a dinner with McCarthy. $100,000 you get dinner. $200,000 you get to eat alone.
Anyway. You're going to hear a bunch of different voices in the excerpts. This is a best of show of Terminally Online that we put together for you today. And here it is now, Terminally Online. Enjoy it.
All right, I'm jumping in. We're starting. No small talk. Welcome to Terminally Online, the Crooked subscription show. I'm Elijah Cohn.
I'm John Favreau.
I'm John. I'm just imagining Elijah saying that on a first date.
Jumping right in.
No small talk. I'm Elijah.
I'm Hallie Cooper.
I'm Tommy Vitor.
This is a chance for us to commiserate about being way too online as we work here at Crooked Media and cover the news. So we're going to start with a little bit of an audience Q&A, one or two questions.
Oh,
all right.
No one told us this.
Good guys. I was like, I don't care about the writer's strike. You're tearing up this script. We're doing it my way.
Hey, pencils down, people.
And then we're going to end with a little segment I'm calling Advice Column. So we're trying things out here.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Like this.
What a clever name.
Thank you, Hallie.
Also, to put it in quote air quotes was an even more insane thing. Yeah.
One thing we like to do on the show is bully Elijah because he's on Zoom.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, it's easy. I'm muted all the time. John Favreau, what is the moment you realized that you were too online this week?
The moment I knew that I was terminally online this week is when I found myself knowing every detail of the fight between Elon Musk and Matt Taibbi.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, I was there.
So, for all of you who have not followed this,
I was riding shotgun with you, pal.
Matt Taibbi, former lefty journalist who's gone all the way around the political horseshoe. Now he's a righty media guy. Elon Musk hands him a bunch of internal Twitter info, Twitter emails, which is supposed to show that the previous Twitter leadership was in cahoots with the deep state.
Mm-hmm.
To censor conservatives and defeat Donald Trump.
The Twitter files.
It's the Twitter files, they're called. Mm-hmm.
Branded now.
They did not show that. Taibbi also has a Substack newsletter. This becomes an issue when recently Elon goes to war with Substack over their new notes feature, which is like Twitter, but with fewer Nazis. Elon then restricts tweets from Substack links because he believes so hard in free speech. Then Matt Taibbi announces he's leaving Twitter for notes. Elon then says Taibbi was a former employee of Substack, which is not true, and that Substack was trying to steal data from Twitter, which is also not true. And we know that because then Twitter stopped shadow banning Substack links. But even though you thought this was all over, after they stopped banning Substack links,
what happened?
Elon then replied.
Like a hand through a graveyard.
Elon, he just kept on posting. He just keeps on posting.
Posts through it.
And he replied to a tweet from one of his other Twitter files fanboys, Michael Schellenberger, with screenshots of his private Signal conversation with Taibbi that he thought would prove that Taibbi was in fact a Substack employee.
So we're looking at screenshots.
It's like a Jenga.
For everyone, if you're just tuning in, we're looking. John has now brought to us screenshots between Matt Taibbi and Elon Musk in Signal.
Here's what's amazing is that Elon thought that these private Signal messages would prove that Matt Taibbi was an employee of Substack.
Oh boy.
As he says in the DMs, I was never a Substack employee. I was merely one of the first contributors. So the great aha moment from Elon Musk, which he proved that he was right this whole time, just was nothing. And then Elon had to delete these because he then felt bad.
This is a genuine question. Do you think Elon Musk can read? Like seeing that, I'm like, I genuinely don't know at this point.
It's like ready, fire, aim on every issue all the time.
The interesting thing about it is he really is just a Twitter power user with too much authority now.
Yeah.
Because he really is just, he posts through it. He says whatever's on his mind. He makes mistakes. He gets shit wrong. He's just, he's the ultimate Twitter avatar.
He just tweeted just a couple minutes ago that defund NPR. Ugh. He gave an interview with BBC last night where someone said, well, you promised you'd step down as CEO if you lost the poll, and you did lose that poll. So why haven't you stepped down? He said, my dog is now CEO of Twitter. And that's, he just kept saying
he just has the worst sense of humor.
It's the worst sense of
now,
humor.
Now, did you see they took W out of Twitter? So it says titter on the side of the building.
Yeah. And they reply to every press request with an automatic poop emoji.
Yeah. That's all this is, like a piecing together a suicide note over time. You know what I mean? Like, if I started to do all of this stuff, I'd be like, yeah, things are really falling apart for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I got.
I'm too online.
Way too online.
Too online. Yeah.
Listen,
damn.
If you want to go deeper, watch the Mehdi Hassan interview with Matt Taibbi, where Matt Taibbi does not look good.
No, he doesn't. I think it's a 5, John. I think that's terminal.
Yeah, I think you know too much.
Last time, I think I came with a pretty weak entry last time, so I wanted to make sure I was sufficiently terminal this time.
You're terminal.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 4, though, because I feel like we could do better.
Room to grow.
Okay. Not me personally, but what do you guys?
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, death is, you know, you don't get more dead. He's there.
Let's find out. Let's keep this segment rolling and find out.
One note on this is that Elon Musk says he's going to get rid of blue check marks for people who don't pay for Twitter Blue on 420, which is so cool, so funny. What are we going to do with the Pod Save America handle? Are we going to pay for Twitter Blue?
Or we are not going to pay Elon Musk one fucking red penny. Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
That'll be the last. You'll know when we've paid Elon, because that I won't work here anymore. That'll be my last fucking day.
It's dying breath, people.
The Tesla owner over here.
I'm trying to get rid of it. I can't offload it. Think.
Oh, you can't.
It's like driving around with it.
Where's the ad for it?
Your tune has changed.
What do you mean my tune has changed? I've been trying to get rid of this thing for fucking months. Who wants it? It's a rattly fucking.
How have you been trying?
You said you loved it.
Talk to us about the process.
Well, I'm trying to find another car.
Have you been on Craigslist?
I need to find it.
Is it in
the wanted ads in the back of the newspaper?
The thing is, there's a car I want, but it's not out yet.
Is it the Cybertruck?
And it is. It's a Cybertruck. Guys, it's the Cybertruck. I want the fucking Cybertruck.
Well, it was nice to know you, because you'll be dead within the days when you have that thing.
Yeah.
They tweeted a photo of the Cybertruck, like the newest one. And even in that photo, like you could see it, like the panels are peeling off. And I'm like, what?
It's not cool looking. He didn't own Twitter when I got the fucking Tesla. He was a little annoying, but I didn't know it was going to be like this.
I just remember a fairly recent episode of Pod Save America where you were like, come at me, bros. I love my Tesla. It's amazing.
I know, but then he really went too far.
Okay.
Much like Starbucks and the olive oil.
Mm.
We all have to learn, you know.
Love it. When were you terminally online this week?
So, now I've been mocked for this in the past, and I'm sure I will again. I am part of basically, I think, what amounts for QAnon, but if the Q stood for queer. Mm-hmm. And that is people who look for signals on the internet that Taylor Swift is trying to communicate that she's in some way not straight. Now
like Al Jazeera and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, like they're like she's blinking out the fucking SOS, like SOS, like beep 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 beep. I'm bi. You know,
you're a gayler.
I'm a gayler.
Okay, yes. You looking for those Easter eggs?
I'm looking for those Easter eggs everywhere. Now her tour, the Eras tour has begun, and there are signs. But I don't want to really. We can show a clip that gives you a taste of what's happening out there.
Okay, so just to recap, Taylor Swift opened the Eras Tour like this: bang, invisible string in front of smoke that looks very suspiciously familiar. Had this background up during Lost in Fairy Tale. She got to the line that says, "You showed me colors, you know I can't see with anyone else." When it faded to black and white, had all of this shit.
So basically, there's a claim that, like, in the color she's wearing on stage, she is doing various versions of the pride flag.
Right. In that case, the lesbian flag.
The lesbian flag. Mm-hmm. Now there is a moment later where there's a suggestion that her outfits are meant to mirror Karlie Kloss outfits, including the moment Karlie Kloss outfits, not Claus, like Santa Claus, Karlie Kloss outfits.
Like and there's Jack Nicklaus.
Santa Claus's daughter.
Nepo baby, Santa Claus's daughter, Karlie Kloss, who got everything handed to her from the fucking wealth of the North Pole, and nobody talks about it. But there's a moment in the on stage where she says none of it was accidental, where she is dressed like and on a stage like a moment Karlie Kloss had.
She's a little fruity. Please, this woman is a walking pride flag.
But I don't want to talk about that. This is not actually what makes me too online, because a lot of people know and talk about this. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about today. Here's what I'm talking about today.
Let's go deeper.
Let's go deeper. There's also a question about how Taylor Swift gets to the stage before the show even begins.
Mm-hmm.
And there are basically people.
This is the suitcase rumor?
This is No. This is people trying to get evidence. Can we show the clip of the janitorial cart moving through the arena?
Mm.
You're building a case, which I really appreciate. This is Gwyneth Paltrow's trial all over again. This is you as your lawyer self.
So there's lots of footage like this of a janitorial cart moving around the arena. The only problem is it is rare to see a cart that big moved by two security guards with headsets on, followed by several other security guards. But then, finally, at long last, after many clips like this, we have the proof that this is a fake cart because there it is. This is like the Zapruder film.
I was going to say,
the cart is parked, the door opens, and out comes Taylor Swift from inside the janitorial cart.
Wow.
Wow.
It was a fake card after all. I do believe she's bisexual.
These things are unrelated. I thought the cart was somehow related.
Okay.
They're unrelated.
They're related.
Yeah, thank you. I would just like the three straight men not to tell me it's unrelated. Hallie and I understand as queer people that the cart and the bisexuality are tied inextricably together.
She's coming out of the cart?
Yeah.
You bet. Exactly. Smart.
First of all, the footage does look like it's being shot from the top of a bell tower, which I find very, I'm like, who is filming this?
Second gunman on a grassy knoll. Is that what you're saying?
Well, or I was like a book depository. Yeah, absolutely. It's from an uncomfortable angle in my mind.
Thank you for getting that.
Sadly, I do think she's bisexual as well, but that's much more of a bummer than if she was just straight, because then it's like, oh, you can only convey your bisexuality through smoke. And your little outfits. That's such a, as a queer person, such a bummer. But I 100% believe the conspiracy.
We're part of QAnon.
QAnon, yes. And QAnon. I'm glad to see confirmation that she was in the cart. Thank you for sharing this.
She was in the cart, too. I do not believe this, but.
Okay.
That's fine.
You don't have to. It's not for
you're
you.
You're a Hitler,
I just think
they're
called
Hitlers. We're Gaylers and you're Hitlers.
Hitler?
Hitler. No, you said Hitler. It's Hitler.
Oh, Heil Hitler.
Heterosexual.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Harlan.
Want to see my backyard? The way that she is, I just think that her hints about her bisexuality would be a little more obvious.
You hope, but...
She really, when she wants to communicate something, she really lets you know.
We can't give her a little time. We're giving her time.
She's got all the time in the world. No one's going to...
I support whatever choice and path that she's on, whether it's real or not.
Oh, of course.
It's just unfortunate. If she is bi, she has to hide the half of herself. You know, you hate to see it,
In a cart of secrets.
Right,
exactly. In a janitorial cart shame.
People thought that she went into her apartment in New York once in a suitcase, I believe.
Yes, this as well.
That's a thing?
Yeah. And Simone would know. Yeah,
that was
a rumor too. Well, now that I've seen the janitor cart, now I believe that more.
She loves to be moved around in luggage.
I'm cart-filled. Yeah.
She likes to be moved around in surprising containers.
How online is Lovin'?
All right, well, give me a number.
Honestly, I think that's pretty impressively online. I think it's like a four.
That's a four.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a three only because there is such a baseline of conspiracy information available online. There are dossiers about Taylor Swift being queer. So you were building on it. But it's like, again, being a lawyer, which you are for this case, there's precedent. There are books for you to refer to. Like, you're building on decades at this point.
I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly. 100%. So I'm going to say three. Not quite as online as it might seem.
It's all on Hunter's laptop.
Damn it.
All right, we'll say 3.5 to be continued. Tommy, when did you realize that you were terminally online this week?
So I want to talk to you all about the most useless feature in all of social media, which is the Twitter What's Happening section on the right side of the homepage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you log on to Twitter on the web, there's a little section on the right-hand side of the screen. I would say a solid 75% of the time, you see a name trending for some reason, maybe trending just for you. You click on it, and it's a series of unfunny, redundant jokes and memes about how everyone thought that person was dead. And then generally no actual actionable or useful information to help you figure out why that person is trending.
You're just hoping it's not your name.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be you. So
check, you make sure you're not trending, then get your coffee.
So I was looking for a topic for today. And for example, today I saw that Epstein was trending.
All right.
So I'm like, all right,
go to click.
I'll bite. I'll play ball.
Like, I know he's still alive.
I click on it. It's a couple tweets about Jeffrey Epstein, your pal.
Been on the island.
Okay. A couple more about Brian Epstein, the guy who discovered the Beatles, a clinical trial for a vaccine to treat the Epstein-Barr virus, and then a tweet by someone with the last name Epstein. Who is this for? Who is this helping?
Yeah.
Bringing those things together.
Well, it seems like it's probably because it's now broken. That A, the platform doesn't have enough tweets to properly fulfill what's happening.
Yeah.
And B, there probably used to be a whole team that was like, hey, this is too many topics mixed together, but he fucking shit canned those people 6 months ago.
This has been a useless feature for a long time.
It has.
There's a Pepe frog. There were some cringy tweets about TFG getting arrested. There was this video that we'll show you right now. Basset hounds walking over a log.
See, now that's worth it, my friend.
I like that.
Now I'm back on board.
Right?
This is great.
And then there was some extremely graphic pornography that we will not throw to.
Where's that?
Did Ted Cruz post it?
Who is this for? And what's wrong with me that I continue to click?
Epstein. I'm like,
Epstein. I'm clicking on the Epstein for sure.
It is designed, much like Twitter's breaking, it's like, it is designed to break you. Like, the logic is broken, so it's designed to mentally break our ability to seek logic.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Look, we were all spiders crawling on the internet, and then Elon came along and ripped off each of one of our legs.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of running around a little kind of circles. Can't make sense of it.
Michael Cohen for $500 is trending. That's interesting to me.
Because Trump is suing Michael Cohen for $500 million for breach of contract. I got to tell you, just like 30,000 foot view, Trump's got a great case. Michael Cohen has been a terrible lawyer for Donald Trump.
He's right about that.
Yeah.
Not a good lawyer.
Like, totally violated privilege.
Would not hire
turned
him
on
to
him.
Be my lawyer.
Terrible lawyer.
Absolutely
I hope
not.
Donald Trump wins that one.
Ohio is trending. Oh, good. Oh, all the information I could ever want about fucking Ohio. Good for NPR. Hashtag stock market. Oh, this will that'll Ooh. Narrow it down.
Tesla's trending. I wonder if this is about Lovett's car that he's trying to sell.
That's a good.
And hey, listen, if you're one of our many wonderful friends of the pod and part of the community, and you're in the market for a barely used Tesla that does rattle on the highway, like you're being shaken by God, and then inexplicably every time you make a left turn, it sounds like a fucking bowling ball is rolling somewhere to the right.
We will be introducing a special tier where you can pay for and you will get the Tesla.
That's a contest if
you join that tier.
It's a very special tier that does come with the Tesla. Price to move, people. Price to move.
It is cool that NPR was just like, it's not a good platform.
Yeah,
we're leaving it entirely.
I do respect that.
Well, it's actually the thing we've also noticed this over the years that like, people don't click through. When we post pods, it doesn't lead to listens. It doesn't do anything.
It's not at all. It's the worst engagement. Like, you can look at a tweet. You'll send a tweet that has like 2 million views and you'll get like 10,000 link clicks. It's terrible.
But because it sucked up all the oxygen for every other kind of social, it's like, maybe like that was preventing something that would have had better kind of click throughs that doesn't exist because Twitter was the kind of central hub.
Let's all move to notes. We ready to move to notes?
I'll go wherever people tell me to go.
I'm definitely not tooting.
You're not on post.news?
No.
I'm not on post. Are you on post?
I logged in once.
Oh, well, okay. How is it?
Yeah.
That's how I was on notes and a lot of people being like, hey, I'm here on notes.
Here's the thing.
I think actually the Crooked Discord is a lovely alternative to Twitter. Where
I like the Crooked
talking, okay, sure, posting news.
Yeah, no, I've been.
We got a good squad in there.
Enjoying some folks on there. Enjoying talking to some folks on there.
There's also the marketplace where you can buy cars, sell cars, whatever you want. The Crooked Discord marketplace.
I'm a big Facebook marketplace gal, I'll be honest. That's where it's all happening.
Crooked used.
Should we rank Tommy?
Yeah, let's do it. I think this is indicative that he's not very online at all. Didn't really come prepared. Went to the trending page on like the. It's okay. I'm not really prepared either. So
I think even less prepared. So if that's the reaction to Tommy, I will give you a 2 though.
I'll give you a 2.
Yeah, it's a 2.
I'll give you a 2.
Listen, you guys go down that rabbit hole.
It's also this sort of like, well, now, you know what? Honestly, this is what you deserve. You're like, I come to get funny little jokes about the workplace. Yeah, it's Friday o'clock somewhere.
Said you had like two ass cheeks clapping on your face like an OnlyFans star.
Oh, good. I got it.
That kind of thing.
Hallie, when did you realize that you were terminally online this week?
Well, so I also came unprepared. I was offered a dispensation by Elijah as the god of this segment to talk about producing a segment that relates to something that's very online. But again, Elijah told me I couldn't talk about it because he talked about it last week. But basically, I love it or leave it. Last week, we were in solidarity with Dylan Mulvaney, the trans woman who is now literally like being torn apart by the right constantly for doing a Bud Light ad. And she's also done other ads like a Nike ad and sort of has become this avatar of right vitriol. In support of her, we did buy some Bud Lights that we were going to chug on stage. And again, there was a video where Kid Rock shot up a bunch of cases of Bud Light. You don't like to see somebody so threatened by the presence of a trans woman, they shoot something. It just, the whole thing was bad. So I thought, we'll get some Bud Lights. We'll drink them on stage in solidarity. And it all made sense in my mind. I haven't had a Bud Light since I was in college. And I bring them out, and we weren't going to shock on them because they have a rug at the LA's beautiful Dynasty Typewriter. Please come see it. We're there every Thursday. But I bring it out, and I don't know. I'd love to know your reaction because we crack them open. I'm like, all right, this is a funny bit. It will take us 30 seconds. The second that dirty fucking dishwater hit my mouth, first of all, swill. Okay. No offense, Bud Light, if you're going to be a sponsor.
Well, it is offense.
It's meant to deep offend. Offense. No, if you're 18, you don't have taste buds or whatever. That's fine. And then two, it was like a surge of every college memory of drinking that shit and then just drinking like nine of them and throwing up in front of your friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then we both mutually put it down and said, I'm sorry, this was a bad bit.
We were like, we can't do it.
And love it. Chugged a whole thing of milk on stage in Wisconsin.
It's the carbonation and the cold that really killed it for me.
Should have shotgunned it.
Yeah, why didn't you? Yeah, that was
because the rug. We didn't want to spill on the rug. Yeah, we didn't get in trouble.
It would have at least been funnier. But also, I literally couldn't even swallow the first sip because it was so rank. You could have.
I don't mind
it.
Bud Light.
Keg
I prefer Miller
keg
Light. I prefer Miller Light.
I'm getting excited to drink Bud Light just talking about this
right now. I would have a Bud Light right now with this segment. I think you're both ridiculous.
I didn't dislike it. It was just too cold to chug.
Too cold.
See, and now I know for next time. Because to me, it had to be ice cold because it tastes like, again, rat piss. So I just didn't want it to be
warm. That was why it took me so long.
You guys are not on my team for the case race, that's for sure.
It took me too long to drink the chocolate milk in Wisconsin because it was so cold. Got an ice cream headache.
This is good production knowledge for me is that if you want to drink a liquid, a lot of it, it has to be warm.
I need room temperature.
And I should know that about you.
You can't do warm milk, though. Jesus Christ.
It's horrific. It's as bad as the coffee.
So the only reason I think it is online is because I saw something online and I was so moved that I brought it to real life, which one would argue is actually the most online thing to do, is that I brought it from online back into reality. And I think as a queer person, these are just going to keep happening, especially as it relates to trans people. Like these corporate pride gestures are going to keep running up against like the right's need to create like a constant, like, you know what I mean? The constant churn of hysteria and argument or whatever. And I think as a queer person, it's like, I'm obviously going to support any queer or trans person, but it does, I brought a physical manifestation of the feeling of this, which is, this is a nutcracker I bought at Target over the holidays, which is a pride nutcracker. It has pink hair and makeup and a pride flag. And this is, I think, where we're at, where it's like, corporations are like, I think this is what a queer person is, maybe. So we'll make a nutcracker
for
them.
Can I see it for 1 second?
Which I don't hate.
And it was surely made by fucking tortured Uyghurs.
Right,
unbelievable.
So it's like, this is made, as...
There it is.
Right. It's
there it is. This is what corporate pride is now. A Christmas symbol made gay, manufactured by people in impoverished conditions.
Exactly. And so we have this, and eventually, hopefully, we'll have real liberation. But in the meantime, it's like, I will drink the Bud Light, not because I want to support Bud Light, but I will support the gesture of pride.
You can just buy it and dump it out.
It sounds to me
It sounds
to me like you were very online. Mm-hmm. You tried to go touch grass.
Yeah.
And then didn't like it. Then you went back online.
Yeah, I touched it the wrong way. I touched, my hands are all bad now.
You were inspired by Kid Rock and you were like, I stand with kids. So you got your Harry Potter book and you're trashed on Bud Light. And here
I'm going to shoot something you like. I'm going to shoot that Snapple.
Oh, no.
The fact you're drinking Snapple out of a glass with no ice is to me insane.
Listen, I wasn't trying to give him a branded image.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
So I don't know. What would that rank?
I think a four, three and a half.
I'm giving you a two.
Okay.
I think two.
I think Kid Rock sucks and you were right to try to tell him to fuck off.
Thank you. Thank you, Tommy.
Love his music.
Love his music. He's obviously an incredible musician.
He's an artist.
He's an incredible artist. I mean, you separate that art from the artist.
We have to.
When it comes with Kid Rock.
Much like how Hitler was a great musician.
Yeah. Right, like Caravaggio.
Much like Hitler.
Did you see the video? Like, speaking of Hitler, did you see the video of Kid Rock DJing at Mar-a-Lago and he's like, couldn't get it to work? And Donald Trump Jr. was like, oh my God. He's like going live. Like, how crazy is this? It's fucking like it's a funeral home with Kid Rock DJing.
That's very online, right? Yeah, there. Tommy just saved himself. Yeah. You should have come here. Why didn't you come with that?
Yeah, that was.
I think it's a 4 or 5 right there.
You see this? No.
Tommy always upgrades himself like halfway through the episode. He brings like a pretty tame topic, and then he jumps on someone else's.
I did.
I also want to say, because the people seeing us are paying for it, you need to know how filthy Tommy's keyboard. And I am a disgusting person. It looks like there's like Nutella on your keyboard right now.
The issue is there's something sticky got on, and then it got a layer of fuzz.
Oh, no. Okay, all right.
You know that.
Oh, yeah. My coffee has a little olive oil in it. I'm disgusting.
It's still pretty gross, though.
My terminally online, I was going to do HBO Max turning into just simply Max, which is strange. But then I kind of realized it was just a take about Succession. So I'll get to the Succession thing. I'll just point out, if you have HBO Max and you enjoy watching Succession, you have to download a whole new app. HBO Max is changing to an app called Max, and it's not going to update. You're not just going to get a new logo on your Roku or whatever the fuck. You have to go download a whole new app called Max, or on Sunday, you're not going to be able to watch the season finale of Succession.
Yeah, that's why they did it. They did it so that they would make sure people would download it.
Oh, that's smart.
So that's
part
of the timing, I think.
It's also going to be a nightmare on Sunday. There's going to be a ton of people complaining about it. Like, what the fuck is this? So that'll be content.
Can't wait.
My terminally online is, look, I know I'm going to get killed for this, but Succession, I like it a lot, but once again, like with the episode, I watch the episodes, I enjoy the show, fine. And then I go online and it's like, I just saw Michelangelo carve David, the statue, perfectly in an hour of immaculate television. And I then say, you know what? I did like that a lot more than I thought I did. And I just am, I'm standing up. And I know there are others of you out there who feel the same way I do, who get a little bored during the episodes, then go online and say, I guess I did like that more than I did. And before the finale, which I am looking forward to very much, you're seen. There are other people out there and who feel the same way. And it's me.
It feels like you're trying to say you don't like Succession. And it's like you're holding back
every
time.
Yeah, just say it. Just
it's like
fucking
you're
say
a,
it
you're
already.
A coward pretending to be brave. Yeah. You're like
fucking
Ron DeSantis.
Say it. Jesus.
Succession is a 7 out of 10 this season, and everyone's giving it a 10 out of 10. So I like it. It's
Elijah,
fine.
So I'm actually sympathetic to the situation that they're in with regards to the absurd branding journey of HBO to HBO Now / HBO Go to HBO Max to Max. Because because there's a lot of people online who are saying, you have HBO. That's the most amazing brand. Why are you doing this? Why would you make it Max? It should never have been called HBO Max. It should always have been called something broader, like Warner or Max or something, so that you could have the HBO brand, and then you could have the Discovery brand, and you could have all the other ancillary brands in a row, but that HBO remains special and good for the excellence that it provides. One of the arguments that they made for why they needed to make it be a broader brand is that there's a lot of people who have Discovery, a lot of people that aren't HBO people that want the broader, kind of less prestige-y, slow boil fucking content of HBO that we all love and that for you is ponderous because you're waiting for an explosion because you're a fast sex fucking moron. And I want you to understand something. They have to call it Max for people like you.
Stupid people
because
like
you.
Of you. Yep, there it is.
You have been given a gift that is Succession.
Yep. That's one location in 45 minutes of
dialogue. I am sorry that your fucking Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, two-phone experience, broken fucking brain can't handle watching what is ostensibly, you know, a play taking place in a fucking cathedral. Are you one of those people that starts, texting people during Broadway musicals? Do you get bored and walk out?
While you make love to your wife, Elijah?
While you make...
What do you need to keep your goddamn attention, okay?
You were given
kids
that,
these days.
This is some of the best writing in the history of television, and the audacity of you to come out of that experience and go, 7 out of 10, do better. There's never been better. There won't be better. The golden age of television is about to end. The writers are on fucking Melrose running around trying to get paid, and you're like, oh, this isn't good enough. You can eat fucking shit.
I'm not saying it's not good enough. The problem is that I go on, and everyone is like, this is the best thing ever, and I just don't feel it. I just okay. It doesn't move that way. And I'm going to give you two things. One, I don't need a good reason for how I feel when I watch it. I'm going to just not enjoy it and not be criticized by it. Number one. Number two, I have trouble relating to these characters because I find them so detestable. I find them all so awful. And like the hubris of like, I'm supposed to be sympathizing with them. I'm just like, oh, good, suffer. Like, whatever, cry. I don't care.
You know what you sound like right now? You sound like the worst executive at every network who looks at a fucking pilot and says, I don't find any of these characters relatable. You're the person that tried to stop Seinfeld from ever fucking airing. That's what you're doing right now. And I'm not saying you need a reason to not like it, but don't walk around like you're fucking impressive. Like this opinion makes you brave or good. It's embarrassing that you don't like this show. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're right to feel the way that you do. You're right to pretend you like it more than you do on social media. That's the right thing for you to be doing. You've been given a gift and you've thrown it back in HBO's faces. We are blessed to have Succession, and it's about to be over. And when it's gone, you'll miss it. Tina Turner died. You want to say something mean about her? You think Tina Turner is Tina Turner 7 out of 10, you piece of shit? Jimmy Carter is in hospice. Not good enough? Not enough houses?
So now love is pulling from other means. All right.
Also, like, Barry was pretty good, too. I like that this week.
I don't watch Succession, and I was convinced by that argument.
So go ahead and tune in for the Succession recap next week for all the subscribers, where John, and Tommy and Dan will break it down uncritically together. Look, I'm very much looking forward to the finale.
I've been working on
we got
a Kendall
impression
on
Malcolm.
Hang on,
Elijah,
on.
Shut the fuck up. Malcolm.
So what's the fucking play?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We fucking, let's fucking do this, yeah?
Yep, every week, the best writing I've seen, and it's just Kendall mumbling, let's go
to
the fucking moon, rocket ship.
Why don't you turn it off? Why don't you turn it off and go on a fucking hike? Why don't you watch something else?
Because it's Sunday night. Who hikes on Sunday night?
And also, here's Roman. fucking, you know, fuck you. Yeah, you know?
Hey!
Very good. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Elijah, I want you to understand something. Of course we understand it. You're not making a sophisticated point. You're making a simple point, and we get it.
Yeah.
Yes. What's the point? Say it back.
End the show. We all want to get back to our fucking lives. Listen to you drone on with this idiocy.
What's my online rating first?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, zero. You barely deserve to have a screen at all.
I would say three. I would say three just because you have to, like, you watch something and then go on Twitter and, like, check out, like, what people are saying about it as you're watching it. Like, that's not nothing is what I mean.
I'm going to say four because you go on, you do everything that Malcolm says, and then you come here and you complain. And that to me is the most online behavior.
Ellie does not have a dog in this fight.
I don't. I don't watch one damn minute of this show, and I don't give a fuck. And that's the freedom I've accepted for myself. To hear you complain, you don't have to watch it.
Yeah, I'm with Hal. I stand corrected. Even though I think you deserve no devices and you should be offline completely, I do think the
I
way
think
you're
your
behaving
eyes should be removed, Elijah. Let's be honest.
Okay. Wow. That's fine.
All right. I'll agree. I'll agree with Hallie. I'll say it's a four.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Last week, subscribers wanted to know the times that Jon Favreau got mixed up with John Favreau. And this week, Gretel wants to know.
Gretel?
When you've... Yeah,
I've never heard that name in
Gretel,
the while.
Gretel, you mean like wants to know what happened to her brother?
Yes. She wants to know times you've gotten mixed up with John Lovitz or Lyle Lovett.
So both have happened. On the John Lovitz front, there was one time that was particularly egregious and embarrassing. And it was when I was doing a radio interview with some, I think you call them shock jocks.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Some area
Morning
shock
zoos.
Jocks.
Like a soundboard.
Yeah, like, whoa. Yoing.
I'm low-key trying to get Love It or Leave It to turn into that. Like,
yeah, it is.
Now.
It's one of the ways we can go with it. But I came on the radio. We were live on the radio, and they said, joining us is John Lovett. John, tell us what it was like.
Oh, no.
Back in the day, working with Phil Hartman,
oh,
my God, and all those SNL legends.
You already booked the show. How do you not?
And I said, I'm not that. You must. I thought they were kidding.
Yeah.
They weren't. But we're on the radio. They're like, well, then who are you?
But
and that's so hard. You don't want to say who you are.
But
it's embarrassing.
Know who they've seen his face before, presumably.
But this is what this is pre-Zoom. This is on the phone. This is phone interview.
Did they not notice that you weren't the voice of a 75-year-old man?
You know, listen, your mind will do things and make things seem like what they should be. And then on the Lyle Lovett front, yes, people, when we're on the road, Hallie's seen this. Mm-hmm. Malcolm, I don't know if you've seen this yet.
I haven't seen Lyle Love. I saw it online.
But at the beginning of shows on the road, we've started asking, like, how many people here are waiting for Lyle Lovett? And it's never no hands.
There was definitely an older couple who came. I want to say it was.
But his name is Lyle.
Yeah, but it says Lovett. Even though there's a picture of it, just people make a mistake.
We were told after the show, an elderly couple came up to the box office and it had genuine surprise that it was not Lyle Lovett.
Does he know what a podcast is?
Lyle Lovett?
Yeah.
So yes, Lyle Lovett is very frustrated by this and doesn't find it very funny.
Yeah.
And
it is
this
hilarious.
Has been conveyed to us.
Oh, that's sad.
But we've definitely talked to people who were waiting for Lyle Lovett in the crowd and asked them to hang out and see if they had a good time. And I think most of them have.
Yeah. I mean, you're already there. You already bought the ticket.
I'm now going to try to start booking both John Lovitz and Lyle Lovett.
Please.
I think that would be a very fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It's like that SNL where Jesse Eisenberg was like Mark Zuckerberg, and then Mark Zuckerberg came out, and it was him and Andy Samberg, who was dressed like Mark Zuckerberg, like all on a stage. That I remember sucking, but I think ours is going to be great.
Way better.
It's a shame that Lyle Lovett doesn't think it's, you know, funny, because that's good content. I wonder what if the opposite has happened, if, you know, some extreme Love It or Leave It fans have shown up at a Lyle Lovett concert and been like, wait a minute.
I'm sure it has.
I feel like our fans can read, though.
Yeah.
That might be the difference.
Chief difference there.
Yeah.
Ben Hathcote, who is a producer here, he has a behind-the-scenes story that I found very entertaining. He produces things like this show and then also Political Experts React. The context is that at Crooked Media for the last couple months, we have a new CEO named Lucinda, and we've been getting a lot of phishing texts, people claiming to be Lucinda. And Ben, I'll let you take it from here.
Hey, y'all. This morning, I get to the office early. I'm an early bird. And it was just me and Lucinda, our CEO, here in the office. Like Elijah said, we've been getting all these phishing texts and spam messages. So I get a text that says, hey, this is Lucinda, CEO of Crooked Media. Are you free at the moment? And it was literally just me and her in the office. So I'm like, first of all, it's a little odd that she didn't just poke her head out of the door, but you know, like, she's the boss. And I put my phone on the desk and I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I just texted back quickly. Absolutely.
You responded?
I have the same issue. I rarely question people in power, which is a big issue for
so
me.
I walked into her office, like walked right in, and I'm like, hey. And she looks at me and she's like, hey. And I sat down. Oh. I sat down across from her at the
Made
desk.
Made yourself at home.
Yeah. And I'm looking around. I'm like, wow, you know, this is the first time I've been in your office, because it was. So I was like commenting on the pink walls, and we're chatting about design stuff. And I sat down, and, you know, she looks at me and she says, how are you? And I'm like, I'm good. I'm okay. You know, we have two recordings today. I tell her a little bit about what's on my plate, but she seems confused, which makes me like really confused. Like, why am I here? What do you need to talk to me about? So anyway, we chat for a little bit, but she keeps referring to a meeting. She's like, I have a couple minutes because I have a meeting coming up,
Hinting.
But she's like, it's okay. You know, I can miss the first couple minutes of the meeting. And she was like, kind of like prying at like, what do you want to talk to me about? And I'm like, what do you want to talk to me about? So,
did you not say at any point, like, yeah, so I got your email or anything?
No. So, because I had left my phone at the desk. So then, you know, we talked a little bit and she's like, you know, hey, I'm glad we could do this. I'm glad we could talk. Let's do more of this. And I'm like, yeah, you know, thanks, Lucinda. This was great. This was at like, you know, 9:30 in the morning. So then I come out, sit back at the desk, and then I see my phone, that my phone has been blowing up with texts about, you know, this is urgent, I need an Apple gift card. Oh. But I was receiving these texts from her while I was in their meeting with her.
So you
about
started
nothing.
To put it together. You started to put it together.
You're like, I should have brought an Apple gift card for her. She was waiting for me to offer her a gift card, and I didn't.
Yeah, and I felt like a big fool. I slacked her. I'm like, wait a second, you didn't invite me to have a meeting with you. And she's like, nope, not me. So anyway, that's my impromptu terminally online.
That's awesome.
That's way better than what I was going to do.
You might want to check on your credit score.
Yeah, seriously.
That's great. That's great. That's so funny. I love that. Just so what's up? Dude, you're trying to figure it out. And also, by the way,
yourself.
By the way, from her point of view, just like, wow, there must be something he's working up to get to.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, he's taking this time and he has something he wants to talk about, but he's getting to the place where he's going to share something or an idea or concern and just kind of trying to have an open door and you just didn't get to it.
No. And like, who was more confused? Was it me or her? I mean, luckily she like rolled with the punches. She was like good about improving this meeting, but like, I wouldn't just like barge into the CEO's office, like unannounced and make myself at home.
I think it's cool as hell. Thanks for telling us that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hey, we believe you and,
We see you.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.
Let's go to the advice column.
Dump him.
You can tell us. How to,
that's
dump
a him, girl. That's a deal breaker, ladies.
Dump him. He's just got that into you.
I'm going to tell you how it works. Subscribers ask for advice. Mm-hmm. And this week, I'm the subscriber asking for advice.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Twist.
Well, what's your question?
Are you going to ask us what to do because you're stuck in a red state?
Work-life balance?
Elijah and Charlotte.
That's a deep cut.
He's like, Elijah. Mean to us.
Elijah in North Carolina, you're on the air.
So you guys are Obama's former speechwriters, spokespeople. Hallie, you're an excellent writer. You're a professional writer.
Thank you.
Next week, I'll be out in LA seeing you guys because I'm going to a wedding where I have to give a groomsman speech.
Tough.
How do I give a good wedding speech?
Oh, wait, first of all, if you were coming for a wedding, Crooked paying for that flight?
Oh, my God.
No, they're not.
Fucking believable.
Oh, my God.
Here's
just a question.
Your tips. Do you have a time limit? Sometimes people say 1 minute.
I have a problem, which is like, I can't think of a story with both of them in it that's appropriate to tell at the wedding is my problem that I'm having.
Just do the one you know.
Here are a couple tips. Keep it brief.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two, I think most important advice for giving a toast at a wedding is do not talk about writing your toast or how you didn't know what to say or I sat a lot
nothing
thinking
meta.
About do not do the making of the toast. It fucking sucks. It's bad content.
And don't tell people how great your friend is. So-and-so is kind and smart. Find a little story or an anecdote that shows it.
Don't overwrite. Everyone overwrites their wedding toasts. Everyone uses way too many fucking adjectives.
No adjectives.
This is to Tommy's point.
No adjectives.
Just find the story. Find the story that's funny. Also, provide enough context around the story so that the audience who doesn't know you and your friend really well and know the backstory can still understand. There's a lot of like
inside jokes. Suck.
They suck.
Don't do the things like, but you know what I'm talking
about.
No one else knows.
We were in Syracuse.
I'll save that for another. Not for today. That shit sucks ass. Don't do it. Amateur hour.
If you don't have a funny story, you should switch tack and just go incredibly emotional and incredibly sincere. At my one of my brother's weddings, his best man gets up, who's like, yeah, he's just a funny guy. He's from Ohio, you know, like he gets up and he gives the most emotional, like loving, open hearted. People were sobbing. And because we just didn't expect it. That's what you do. That's how you get them.
I think that's right. I think that's right.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
And then everyone comes up and tells you did a good job. So really, it's like it's your wedding. Yeah.
Go against type. Go against type.
Yeah.
Powerful.
That's just great advice. I was definitely going to do a little, when I was thinking of writing.
It sucks. That shit is garbage.
It's been done. We've all seen it, you know?
And Elijah, it's not a roast.
Right.
It's not a roast.
Yes.
It's not a roast.
Not a roast.
Was that helpful?
That was genuinely great advice.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And send it to Lovett for a punch up.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, John, for signing up for that.
And just be glad I'm not giving a toast at that wedding either, you know?
Oh my God.
Because, you know, I always bring it.
Thanks for listening to Terminally Online. New episodes come out each Saturday. And again, you can get more episodes by subscribing to Friends of the Pod at crooked.com/friends.
As a chef and a restaurant owner, I'm as meticulous about my cookware as I am about my ingredients. That's why I love Made In Cookware. Each pan they make isn't just designed to perform, it's crafted to last. As a mom, I love that I can trust Made In. It's made from the world's finest materials, so I can feel good about what I'm feeding my family. I'm Chef Brooke Williamson, and I use Made In Cookware. Shop chef-quality pots and pans at madeincookware.com.
Chapter 1. Wayfair welcomes you to the Waberhood. Our hero, Titus Burgess, ambled down the stylish street of an enchanting utopia. A woman waved from a chic lounger. "Welcome to the Waberhood," she said, "where Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love." Titus stared in awe. Bohemian Boulevard, Trendsetter Terrace, Mid-Century Circle.
Titus,
You're
reading the Wayfair catalog.
Oh, you'll love Chapter 2. Wayfair's fast and free shipping saves a potluck.
Wayfair, every style, every home.